Welcome to Tall Talk Times podcast, the podcast made by beautifully tall people.
For beautifully tall people.
There he is. I'm Letty Saunders.
And I'm Tom Garner.
Hello, Tom.
Hello, Letty.
We're having a conversation off air just now, listeners, about how tall we were as children.
Yes.
So
it's very tall.
It's amazing, isn't it, how, say, a six-year-old could look nearly 10,
yeah.
And everybody treats them and expects them to act a lot older than they are because they're tall.
Shall I tell listeners my very sad anecdote?
Start the podcast. Sad anecdote.
Let's start on a right downer.
But he's okay now, listeners.
Okay
he's
now.
He's all right now. So yeah, put that in first.
No, it's just it's funny the things that come back into your head. So about a week ago, I had a memory from childhood that came back to me. So when I was 7, I went to a kid's birthday party.
Yeah.
One of my schoolmates. And it was in this play creche, soft play area. And it looked really great. It was like, it got like cushioned slides and like a little computer game room and this sort of thing. And there was climbing frames, all sorts of things. And for a 7-year-old, it looked amazing. But the people that ran it had a height limit, and there was like a height chart. So basically, if you were over a certain level, you weren't allowed in. And I remember I got there, my parents dropped me off, and I was all excited. I could see the play area through large glass windows.
Yeah.
And then we all queued up, and then they were measuring everybody. And then they got to me, and I was over the height limit. And it was like, you know, I got way, way under 6 foot, obviously, because I was a child.
Uh-huh.
But they went, no, you're too tall, you can't come in. And the mum who was...
Oh, heartbreaking for a child.
Yeah, and the mum whose birthday party it was says, please let him in. He's in the same class.
Same class
as the school friend. But they were insisting, they went, no. So basically there was a seating area for the adults. And I remember that I sat on the table, basically by myself, with an ice cream tub, watching the other kids playing.
Did you have more fun there with your own ice cream?
Not really, no. No, because I was watching the fun, and I wasn't a part of it, because I was too tall. I mean, so I hope that crash has closed since then, because that was, what a way to treat...
No animosity.
No animosity, but that's a pretty mean way to treat a child, because you can't help being tall. And obviously, I was a very tall 7-year-old. So, yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. I don't think they could do that to children now, can they?
Really?
I hope they don't.
Do you think I wonder if it was a safety thing, possibly? I don't know. In case I hit my head on, like, the low kiddie area bits that were designed for smaller children. I just don't know. Don't know why that was.
I don't know, Tom. I just I know that tall kids are treated older than their years because of their height.
I mean, it's a bit of a sad story, but I bring it up as just an example that, like, it's not easy being a tall adult, but it's not easy being a tall kid. And when I say child, I mean, like, not a teenager, like, you know, below 10 years old. It can be quite an issue. Having said that, to end it on a positive, when I rule the world, all the creches in the world will have no height limit. There'll be no height bar. And in fact,
maybe other issues there. Tom.
And in fact, I might pass a law to mean that play creches can be as big as they like. Just giant ones, huge, huge acres of play areas. How does that sound?
Yeah, it's called a garden.
Oh, yeah.
Play the garden.
Don't ruin my. Don't give me the truth.
So, Tom, are you able to give us an idea about the. About the next section.
Oui, madame. Oui. As you can tell, I'm speaking in French. And our next giant of history coming up is going to be Charles de Gaulle.
Charles de Gaulle.
Charles de Gaulle. So yes, Letty.
Charles de Gaulle.
Charles de Gaulle, yes. So that's our giant of history for this week. So Letty, I presume you know, you've heard of Charles de Gaulle.
Of course.
Yes. So Charles de Gaulle, as everyone probably knows, he was the president of France during 1959 to 69. For our purposes, he was 6'5" tall.
6'5"? I didn't realise he was that tall.
He was a very tall man. So last time we spoke, our giant of history was Christopher Lee. And he, of course, he's famous as a tall actor, but Charles de Gaulle, same height as Christopher Lee. Pretty massive. And Charles de Gaulle has a massive history away from his height. So he's born in the city of Lille in northern France in 1890. And he was a French officer, a French army officer and statesman. And he became the 18th president of France in the late 1950s. So de Gaulle dominates the history of France during the mid 20th century. And interestingly, his surname, de Gaulle, they reckon it's actually Dutch in origin, but to Anglophone audiences, as in English-speaking audiences, Gaul was the ancient Roman word for what is now France. So if you're an English speaker, hearing Charles de Gaulle literally means the equivalent of Charles of France, more or less. So Charles de Gaulle, he starts his career as an army officer. During the First World War, he's very young and he fights with distinction on the Western Front. So he's wounded several times. He receives the Croix de Guerre Medal for bravery. That's roughly equivalent to the Victoria Cross.
Oh, great.
Yeah. During the Battle of Verdun in 1916, so that's a terrible apocalyptic battle, he was bayoneted by a German soldier and taken prisoner, and he remained in captivity for the rest of the war, despite attempting to escape five times. He tried, but five times he failed. But the will was there. And after the war, he remained in the French army as a career officer, and by the time World War II broke out, he was a general in charge of armoured tank units. So in 1940, of course, France falls to Nazi forces. But de Gaulle was one of the few people in the high command who refused to accept defeat, and he fled to Britain, where he exhorted the French people to continue the fight in a famous BBC radio broadcast, which he made on the 18th of June 1940. And from that time on, he became the leader of what was known as Free France, and that meant the exiled government in England and the accompanying Free French military forces. Now, the Free French, they fought the Axis, that's Germany, Italy, and Japan. And the Vichy French, they were the pro-Nazi French forces in almost every campaign from North Africa, the Middle East, and Indochina. And it was de Gaulle who commanded them. Fast forward a few years, in 1944, the Free French participate in the Normandy landings on D-Day. And de Gaulle was able to triumphantly liberate Paris a few months later.
Wow.
So when the war ends in 1945, the Free French are actually the fourth largest allied army in Europe, numbering over 1 million men. And when France was liberated, de Gaulle headed its provisional government to make sure that France got back on its feet.
Yeah.
About a decade later, in 1958, he was instrumental in rewriting the French constitution, and he established the Fifth French Republic, with himself serving as first as prime minister,
yep,
and then president. Now, I should say the Fifth Republic is still France's current political arrangement, so he's had a very significant impact on the way France is governed to the present day. As president, he granted independence to Algeria, which was a French colony. He oversaw the development of France's nuclear deterrence. He also famously twice vetoed Britain's entry into the European Economic Community, which was a forerunner of the EU.
Yeah.
And he was president during the civil unrest that occurred in France during 1968. Some people at the time thought France might fall into civil war, but it didn't quite happen. After 1968, he retired in 1969, and he died only a year later, with the then president, Georges Pompidou, stating, "General de Gaulle is dead. France is a widow."
Oh.
So he's clearly a towering figure in more ways than one. Now, for our purposes, like I said, he's very tall. He's 6'5". During military training as an officer cadet in the early 1910s, his fellow officer cadets would take the mick out of him. And their nickname for him was the Great Asparagus.
What?
Yeah, so imagine what asparagus looks like. It was because of his skinny height, his prominent nose, and his high forehead. So basically, they said, like, they were basically calling him a vegetable, basically, but a lanky vegetable at that. So that's not very nice, is it?
That's horrid.
Horrible.
That is ridiculous.
But that's cadets for you. You know, they've got a very blunt sense of humour at times. But you shouldn't feel too sorry for him, because de Gaulle was he was a difficult man. So, for example, during World War II, this is what Winston Churchill said about de Gaulle. He is selfish, he is arrogant, he believes he is the centre of the world. which, considering that these two are very close allies, ostensibly, that's a pretty damning indictment. And Churchill wasn't the only one to criticise de Gaulle. In fact, Dwight D. Eisenhower, who, bear in mind, he was the supreme Allied commander in Europe during World War II,
yeah,
and he later became American president during the 1950s. Now, in 1954, France was experiencing political turmoil, and Eisenhower was concerned about the state of the country. And he discussed with an American general whether de Gaulle was the best choice. And he decided that he wasn't the best choice, and he used his height to kind of damn de Gaulle. And I found this very kind of, what's the word? Very terse statement.
Okay.
So Eisenhower said, "The only hope for France is to produce a new and inspirational leader."
Yeah.
"And I do not mean one that is 6'5" and considers himself to be the offspring of Joan of Arc.
Wow.
So, ouch.
Yeah, ouch. Do you think Churchill was a little bit of height jealousy there, Tom?
I don't think so. I think the situation during World War II was France had obviously fallen, and it had no internal territory to assert itself as a great power. But de Gaulle insisted on France being equal in all negotiations between the Allies, on a par with Britain, America and the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
And Churchill thought, and while Churchill sympathised greatly with the plight of the French, de Gaulle's arrogance got to him. And you could argue de Gaulle was just being relentless on behalf of his country, which is of course the right thing to do. But the way he went about it was not very diplomatic, shall we say.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what was left was great antipathy between France, Britain and the United States, hence why de Gaulle was vetoing Britain later on in the 1960s. But to end it, I've given quite a bad impression of de Gaulle.
Have you?
Well, just a little bit. I mean, I said...
Some positivity in there?
Well, some positivity. He did lead the French in their hour of need, for example, and he managed to unify the Free French, and he gave France its pride back. So he had got his virtues. And I should say as well, when it comes to his height, he may have appeared arrogant outwardly in public, but in private, he was quite insecure about his appearance. And I found an interesting, quite revealing quote that he privately told his future education minister, "We people are never quite at ease. I mean giants. The chairs are always too small, the tables too low, the impression one makes too strong." Now, that's quite interesting. He's basically saying, "I'm not at ease with myself. I literally can't fit anywhere."
Yeah.
"And also, people expect me, and also I make a strong impression, largely based on my height." Now, you could say, well, you're also arrogant as well. You can be a gentle giant. You don't have to be so pushy. But clearly...
You just be tall and not be referred to as a giant full stop.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But I think that's quite revealing. It gives you a sense of the private man rather than the bombastic character.
Sure.
That appears out of history. And I found a relatively amusing quote or anecdote about his height. So during World War II, when he was based in England, it was rumoured that his English landlord had thrown him out of his wartime home in Reading, which is in Berkshire. And this is because he didn't fit in the bathtub when he got in it. And when he did get in it, apparently on one occasion, he got so frustrated that he didn't fit that he kicked the bath and he broke it.
Well, being kicked out of your digs because you broke a bath is...
Well, yeah. But clearly, in the 1940s, there weren't enough paths for tall people, effectively. So there we go. A giant of history, a mixed giant of history, but a giant nonetheless.
Yeah, another 6'5".
Another 6'5". Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fabulous. Thanks, Tom.
No, you're welcome. There you go. Charles de Gaulle. Voila!
Hey, Tom.
Hi.
Do you know, probably guess, the mean height of male and female around the world?
Can I guess?
Yeah.
A mean height? Is that a height that's not very nice? No, I can't guess. I guess the mean, what, for just...
So who would you reckon would be ranking number one?
What, the tallest people? I want to say the Dutch.
Yeah.
Yeah, is that the Dutch?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. My people.
Your people. Are you Dutch?
No, way, way back there is Huguenot and Flemish, which is more Belgian, but not quite Dutch. I like to say Dutch, though.
I have Huguenot.
Well, there you go.
Ancestry.
A lot of British people do without knowing it.
Yeah.
When I say Huguenot, that usually means French. So, yes.
Sure. Second tallest.
Second tallest? Oh.
With the male average height being 6 foot. Good old Montenegro.
Montenegro?
Yeah, it feels like I'm doing Eurovision Song Contest.
No, hang on. What's the maximum point you can get in Eurovision?
In UK? Nilpois,
that is the UK. yeah. Montenegro? No, I didn't know that. Wow. That's a really small former Yugoslavian country, isn't it, Montenegro?
So you've got quite a few countries before... Crikey. Honestly.
So is Scandinavia up there? I imagine the Scandinavians and the Germans might be quite tall. Or am I completely wrong about that?
Scandinavians and Germans are tall.
Yes.
Yes, but the Netherlands, Montenegro, Estonia.
Estonia.
Yeah. Estonia, who the men, again, the male average height is 6 foot.
Well, Estonia, my favourite Baltic state, obviously.
Is it? Why? Why?
Because it's probably the tallest Baltic state.
So is that your favourite because it's the tallest?
Yeah, why not? This is Tall Talk Times. We have to show favouritism to the tallest ones. So clearly the Netherlands, if you visited there, that would be like visiting Mecca, some kind of homeland.
Yeah, where you feel beautifully tall all the time because everybody around you is beautifully tall.
I must admit, when I visited them, I've only been to the Netherlands once, and when I visited, I remember distinctly thinking, I feel a bit more normal physically, that is.
And
it was quite a nice feeling. So maybe I should just move there.
Well, wherever you find your tribe, Tom.
I suppose so, because like the UK, I mean, apart from the likes of us, they're quite a stumpy nation, if that makes sense.
Yeah, we are pretty short, actually, quite down on the scale. But, there are beautifully tall people all over the place. I mean, we have lots of different nationalities as members of Tall Talk Times on the Facebook group.
Yes.
So we have people from, crikey, from the Far East. I can't quite understand that. It must be expats.
Well, the Cambodian.
Yeah. Not just the one Cambodian. Listener of the podcast, though. No.
Okay, let's assume there's more than one. Yeah.
But absolutely.
Interestingly, a lot of our listeners are in the United States. I wonder how tall the Americans are on the global scale of things. That's a good point. American listeners, if you're out there, let us know how tall you are, because we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, that goes for everyone, really.
I mean, you are the home of basketball, after all. We need to know.
So you've got dates for your diary, Tom.
Dates for a diary? Oh, beg it. Yes.
Sorry. Are you an online diary or a physical diary?
I used to have a physical diary. Now I have a calendar on my smartphone, which is not quite as glamorous, really.
Which one works? Obviously, the electric one works better for you because you use it like that.
I guess so, yeah. But I do like a physical... I used to write a diary for quite a few years.
Oh.
But then, weirdly, perhaps perversely, my life got interesting and I forgot to fill in the entries. I think I was doing it when I was bored.
Yeah, I did a mother's journal.
Yeah.
Beautiful leather-bound book, went by. Now 6'5" son, Oscar, was my firstborn.
Yes.
And I wrote this beautiful, beautiful front page.
Oh, nice.
So the first entrance... that I made on this diary was about my beautiful firstborn child, first day.
Right.
And then I had no more time, did I? Because I was a mother and no time to do a diary.
Yeah, things happen, don't they? Yeah.
So, but it's a really heartfelt couple of pages, and I've kept that, but the rest of the journal is, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so what dates have we got for our listeners' diaries?
So, for the 17th of May, that's our next London Celebrating Height Tall Talk Times social get-together.
Hooray!
Yeah, so I'm not going to tell you where it is. Really nice location. People will be ever so pleased with this one.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to find it on the meetup group and also on the Facebook group and the events section at the top.
Fantastic.
And keep your eyes open on the group for any other events that pop up from time to time, because don't give you all of them on the podcast, just a few.
just a few, just to tempt you.
Yeah, just to taste it.
Just to dangle it in front of you, go, look, here's an event that you can come to.
Yeah, they're free, so you can just pop along and buy your own drinks and stand with other beautifully tall people.
It is lovely to stand with other people of a similar height. It's very inclusive and it's very welcoming. It's quite comforting in a way just to know that you're not alone.
It's liberating.
Yeah.
Yeah. And lots of women who are 5'10" think that they're tall. That's fine. Yeah, if you feel that way, come along. But you are the shorter end of our scale. So yes, there are a lot of women there who are 6'4", maybe a bit taller.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good that everyone has a place where we can all feel comfortable and relaxed together.
Exactly. So just to remind listeners, so height requirements to attend these events, so it's 5'10" plus for women and 6'2" plus for men, and there's no upper limit. Hooray!
If there were an upper limit, what would you put?
I couldn't do that. An upper limit, well, I guess whatever's practical, I suppose. No, I can't do that. No, there's no upper limit.
I'd find out we're the tallest human ever.
Yes.
I'd find out what that level is. So, and then I'd put that as the level.
So that was a chap called Robert Wadlow. He's officially the tallest guy that's ever existed.
Wow, how tall was Robert Wadlow then?
So Robert Wadlow was all of 8 foot 11 inches.
8 foot 11 inches.
So that's 272 centimetres. So that makes him, so he's an American man, and he's known as the tallest person in recorded history. So if you're over 8 foot 11, then that might be our upper echelons.
Yeah, let's put the upper height limit of 10 foot.
Exactly. So I something tells me that we're not going to ban people at that end of the scale.
No. If anybody asks, the upper height limit is 10 foot.
Exactly. Well, I'm glad we cleared that up.
Oh, Tom, thanks ever so much for joining me in the podcast today.
You're welcome. Thank you, Letty. And as Degu would say, de rien.
Thank you everyone for listening. This is Tall Talk Times podcast, a podcast made by beautifully tall people.
For beautifully tall people. Goodbye.
Thanks, guys.